In the first part of our film, we saw some of the miracles of our Prophet, may Allah bless him and grant him peace, whose superior virtues, profound faith, and words and deeds make him a role model for all mankind by Allah. The Prophet's nighttime dreams coming true. His superior knowledge despite being illiterate. Christian and Jewish scholars immediately recognized him as a prophet. The way he went from Mecca to the Masjid al-Aqsa and his ascent to the Miraj during the course of a single night. The way he clove the moon with a sign and the way that Allah heeded his prayers are just some of those miracles. In this part of our film, we shall be seeing how the Prophet maintained his struggle in a miraculous manner and suffered no harm, despite being opposed by the most fanatical and rabid deniers and all the traps set for him by them. We shall also be witnessing how, by the will of Allah, he possessed knowledge of hidden things unknown to anyone else, and how he described in great detail events that would take place 1,400 years later, just as if he had seen them with his own eyes. As is the case in all unbeliever societies that have opposed the messengers of Allah, there were a number of people in Mecca whose great well-being had made them impudent. These were the leaders of the Quraysh tribe who ruled Mecca. It was they who gained the most from the city's economic vitality. The established associator order represented a source of both religious relief and also wealth and status. The power that wealth and status bestowed on them made them impudent, heedless, and cruel. It was such a community that the Messenger of Allah, may Allah bless him and grant him peace, called on to believe in Allah. He told them how there is but one God, Allah, and how human beings have a responsibility to serve him. He told them to abandon all the superstitious beliefs, practices, and rules that had been invented within the established ignorant order. He revealed that all human beings were equal, that it is not a person's wealth or pedigree or status that counts, but his position in the presence of Allah. This message of the Prophet directly opposed the worldly interests of the leading deniers of Mecca. As the number of believers rose, the deniers began to fear that religious virtues would damage their ignorant system. Not only the associators of that time, but also a number of Jews who also persisted in denial, also adopted a hostile attitude towards the Prophet. A number of Christians similarly targeted our Prophet. Also, hypocrites were the leaders of this hostile group. They set traps for the Prophet to harm him. But by reason of Allah's protection of him, they all came to nothing. He foiled their snares and traps on every single occasion. They were unable to do our Prophet any harm at all. Because it is promised in the Holy Book that Allah would protect him against all men. Allah will protect you from people. Allah does not guide the people of the unbelievers. Thank you. Heading the list of those matters that disturbed the ruling elite in Mecca was the position that the Prophet began to acquire in the community as the leader of a new faith. Since these people regarded themselves as far superior to anyone else at that time, they imagined that any revelation from Allah would be addressed only to them. For that reason, they ignored that fact that Allah selects for His mercy whomsoever He wills, and rebelled against the Messenger of Allah. Our Lord describes this behavior of the Quraysh leaders in these terms in the Quran. But when the truth came to them, they said, "This is magic, and we reject it." They say, "Why was this Quran not sent down to one of the great men of the two cities? Is it then they who allocate the mercy of your Lord?" Our Prophet demanded that the ignorant society of Mecca abandon all its superstitious beliefs and follow him. This represented a threat to the interests of the leading deniers in that community. For those reasons, the leading associators set about trying to obstruct the Prophet. They first sought to divert him from his path by making various offers. The hadiths report that Utbah bin Rabia, one of the associators of Mecca, approached the Prophet and said, "Why do you say that our ancestors were heretics? If you want money, we will collect enough money for you so that you will be the richest of us. If you want leadership, we will take you as our leader and never decide on any matter without your approval. If you want a kingdom, we will crown you king over us." Without doubt, the Messenger of Allah rejected all such offers. He was an envoy chosen and placed above all the worlds by Allah. He was one of the most determined and courageous men on earth. The Meccan elite soon saw the Prophet Muhammad's determination. In the face of this rapidly spreading faith, they resorted to the same classic tactic as the societies of the ignorant that had preceded them: violence and persecution. The hadiths tell us that they arranged for all the young, strong people with weapons from all the tribes to kill our Prophet. Our Prophet, a highly courageous individual, personally participated in the thickest battles and engaged in single combat with his enemies. Although he stood in the front rank, they were unable to kill him, and as a miracle from Allah, he returned unscathed. The deniers were similarly unable to kill this blessed man in times of peace, even though they had other opportunities. It is reported in the hadiths that Abu Jahl, known as one of the Prophet's greatest enemies, seized one opportunity of murdering the envoy of Allah. Ibn Ishaq relates from Abu Na'im and Ibn Abbas when our Prophet reached prayer mat to prostrate, Abu Jahl picked up a large stone and headed towards him. As he approached in order to cast the stone, he became white with fear and he returned. His hand still clutched the stone. Out of fear, he threw the stone in another direction. When the Quraishis witnessed this, they said, "What is wrong with you? What happened? Tell us." He replied, "When I drew near him, I saw a huge camel. I had never seen a camel with such a large head and neck. If I had cast the stone, the camel would have torn me to pieces with its teeth." At this, the Prophet said, "What he saw was Gabriel. Had he drawn near to me, Gabriel would have picked him up and cast him away." The way that Allah always foiled all the traps set by the unbelievers and associators, and that they never managed to kill the Prophet, despite the many grave dangers he faced, is a great miracle. In one verse, Allah had told the Prophet that nobody would be able to harm him and that all the traps set for him would come to nothing. When those who unbelieve were plotting against you to imprison you or kill you or expel you, they were plotting and Allah was plotting. But Allah is the best of plotters. Islamic and historical sources reveal that he left his home on the 27th night of Safar, in the 14th year of his prophethood, and went to the home of Abu Bakr, peace be upon him. They later left Mecca together. Our Prophet knew that the first place the associators would look for him would be the road to Medina. So he headed off in the exact opposite direction. That was the road to Yemen, to the south of Mecca. They followed the road for some 6 kilometers, eventually arriving at the mountain known as Thawr. This was a very high mountain, dangerous and almost impossible to climb. Here, our Prophet and his companion Abu Bakr, peace be upon him, concealed themselves inside a cave. The cave in question is reported to have been the one known as Atal on Mount Thawr. At this point, the associators blocked all the roads in their search for our Prophet and posted armed men on them. Infantry, cavalry, and scouts began a detailed search of the region. They fanned out to the mountains, valleys, and cliffs. Scouts looking for our Prophet arrived at the mouth of the cave. But our Prophet Muhammad was fully submitted to the will of Allah. This exemplary virtue is described as follows in the Quran. If you do not help him, Allah did help him when unbelievers drove him out, and there were two of them in the cave. He said to his companion, "Do not be despondent. Allah is with us." Then Allah sent down his serenity upon him and reinforced him with the troops you could not see. He made the word of unbelievers undermost. It is the word of Allah which is uppermost. Allah is Almighty, All-Wise. As in many other incidents during the course of his life, our Prophet miraculously emerged unscathed by the will of Allah. According to the reports, when the associators tracking them arrived at the cave, they saw a spider's web across its mouth and that doves had built nests and laid their eggs there, and returned, misled into thinking that there was nobody in there. There is no doubt that this was a miracle of Allah, the Lord and Judge of all. It was Allah who caused the spider to spin its web across the cave mouth at just that time, and who installed the dove that was quietly building its nest there. The way that our Prophet and his companion emerged unscathed from the cave where they had been hiding, the way that Allah supported them with invisible armies, and the way that he installed a feeling of security and peace in their hearts are all, of course, great miracles. Allah the Protector and Observer is the best of all defenses and He to whom all power belongs. The revelation of the Holy Quran to our Prophet lasted exactly 23 years. For the first 13 of those years, the Muslims lived as a minority in the pagan establishment of Mecca and were subjected to terrible oppression. Many Muslims were physically tortured, others were martyrized, and most had their homes and property pillaged. They were constantly insulted and threatened. Nonetheless, the Muslims continued to live without resorting to violence and constantly called the pagans to the way of peace. When the oppression the associators were subjecting them to finally became intolerable, the Muslims immigrated to the city of Medina, where they could live in a climate of freedom and friendship, and set up their own administration there. When war became unavoidable, however, our Lord supported the Prophet with various miracles. One such miracle was the way that our Lord sent his angels to the assistance of our Prophet and the sincere believers. Although the number of Muslims was far less than the associators, they entered the fray behind our Prophet with the greatest courage and determination. And, with the miraculous help of Allah, won great victories. The Quran describes how Allah supported the believers with his angels and how he told our Prophet of that angelic assistance in battle. Remember when you called on your Lord for help and he responded to you, "I will reinforce you with 1,000 angels riding rank after rank." Allah only did this to give you good news and that so your hearts would be at rest. Victory comes from no one but Allah. Allah is Almighty, All-Wise. Our Lord's promise of such glorious and miraculous victories was the greatest piece of news for our Prophet and the believers alongside him. No matter how weak they had become, our Prophet and the faithful always emerged victorious with Allah's help. They overcame associators' armies, many times larger than their own. Many verses of the Quran reveal that Allah assists his fearful and obedient servants at times that appear difficult and troubled. The Quran imparts the glad tidings that he will always help show a way out, even in situations that appear to have no possible solution. Whoever has fear of Allah, he will give him a way out and provide for him from where he does not expect. Whoever puts his trust in Allah, he will be enough for him. Allah always achieves his aim. Our Prophet and the believers alongside him always had complete trust in Allah and submitted to him. They lived by the moral values of the Quran and sought to attain his approval in all that they did. In return, Allah gave them a feeling of peace and security. They obtained wealth and property, even under the most difficult conditions, and led generally delightful lives. Everything that takes place in the universe and the world does so with Allah's knowledge and under His control. Only Allah, the Omniscient, possesses knowledge of the unseen. The knowledge of every detail of every event, past and future, exists in Allah's presence. This is also revealed in the words of the Quran. The keys of the unseen are in His possession. No one knows them but Him. He knows everything in the land and sea. No leaf falls without His knowing it. There is no seed in the darkness of the earth. And nothing moist or dry which is in a clear book. The way that our Prophet, may Allah bless him and grant him peace, was only given as much the knowledge of the unseen as our Lord chose, is of course another of His miracles. Allah reveals in the Quran that He bestows knowledge of the unseen matters to those envoys He has selected in His presence. He is the knower of the unseen, and does not divulge his unseen to anyone, except the messenger with whom he is well pleased. And then he posts sentinels before him and behind him. As the Quran tells us, one of the prophets given knowledge of the unseen was the prophet Joseph, peace be upon him. By the will of Allah, the prophet Joseph, peace be upon him, was able to foresee various events that would take place in the future. Allah gave him the knowledge of the dream interpretation. It is also revealed in the Quran that our Lord blessed the prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, with the knowledge of what people consumed or what they stored away for the future. The Quran furthermore tells us of an envoy by the name of Ahmad who will come after the time of the Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. Almighty Allah also gave our Prophet much knowledge of the unseen. He told our Prophet of events that had taken place in the past and that nobody knew about, and also several events that would take place in the future. The way that our Prophet was given knowledge of the time he lived, the past and the future, as well as the knowledge of the unseen by our Lord, is one of the proofs of his status as a Prophet. All of the information belonging to the unseen of which our Prophet spoke have come true and are coming true in the present day, and believers alive today are personally witnessing this vast miracle. Many people, both Muslims and unbelievers, have witnessed these. Let us now see a few of the reports our Prophet gave concerning the future. Alif Lam Mim. The Romans have been defeated in the land nearby. But after their defeat, they will themselves be victorious in a few years' time. The affair is Allah's from beginning to end. On that day, the believers will rejoice. These verses were revealed around 620 AD, some 7 years after the Christian Byzantines suffered a very heavy defeat at the hands of the associator Persians in 613 through 614 AD. The verses stated that the Byzantines would soon emerge victorious. Yet, at that time, the scale of the defeat suffered by the Byzantines made it look impossible for them even to survive, let alone to emerge victorious. Defeating the Byzantines in Antioch in 613 AD, the Persians followed up their victory by capturing Damascus, Cilicia, Tarsus, Armenia, and Jerusalem. Especially the loss of Jerusalem in the year 614 and the desecration of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in particular represented a devastating blow to the Byzantines. In order to meet the cost of his armies, the Byzantine Emperor Heraclius ordered that all the gold and silver and decorative objects in churches should be melted down and made onto coins. When that proved insufficient, even bronze statues were melted down for coins. Many governors rose up against Emperor Heraclius, and the empire came to the brink of falling apart. Everyone was just waiting for the Byzantium to collapse. Yet, at just that moment, the first verses of Surat Ar-Rum were revealed, and it was announced that the Byzantines would again be victorious within 9 years. Arab associators thought that this victory announced in the Quran could never be possible. But like all other revelations in the Quran, this one also became a full reality. In 622, Heraclius achieved a number of victories over the Persians. In December 627, there was another great war between the Byzantine and Persian empires, with the Byzantines again inflicting a major defeat on the latter. A few months later, the Persians were obliged to sign a treaty restoring all the territories they had captured back to the Byzantines. The Greek triumph culminated in the recapture of Jerusalem in 630 AD and in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, again coming under Christian control. Thus, it was that the victory of the Romans, revealed by Allah in the Quran and announced by the Prophet Muhammad, miraculously came true within 3 to 9 years, indicated in the verse. The believers who migrated from Mecca to Medina had been unable to return since. While he was in Medina, our Prophet had a dream, in which the faithful entered the Masjid al-Haram in safety and circumambulated the Kaaba, tidings which he imparted to them. Allah revealed verse 27 of Surah Al-Fat to our Prophet and informed him that his dream was correct and that the believers could enter Mecca if Allah so wished it. Allah has confirmed his messenger's vision with truth. You will enter the Masjid al-Haram in safety. Allah willing, shaving your heads and cutting your hair without any fear. He knew what you did not know and ordained, in place of this, an imminent victory. And indeed, shortly thereafter, with the Treaty of Hudaybiyah and the subsequent capture of Mecca, Muslims did, just as revealed in the verse, enter the Masjid al-Haram in safety. In this way, Allah demonstrated that the good news He inspired in our Prophet were true. However, there is one very important point that needs to be borne in mind here. Close examination of verse 27 of Surat Al-Fat shows that it refers to another conquest that will take place before the capture of Mecca. In fact, just as the verse states, the Muslims first took the Kaver's castle, which had previously been in Jewish stronghold, and then Mecca. The fact that this information revealed to our Prophet by Allah actually came true is a great miracle that was witnessed by thousands of people. Since he was blessed by Allah, our Prophet was a man of great knowledge. Allah revealed things to him that nobody else could know. Our Prophet told his companions which places would be captured and when, even at a time when, from the military, economic, and political point of view, Muslims as yet lacked the strength to make any conquest. The conquest of Egypt, Rome, and Persian lands were among this secret knowledge given to him. In addition, according to the Hadiths, our Prophet knew beforehand who would visit his house and who would enter his room before they did so. When an individual was late, he would immediately state the reason why they were delayed. Our Prophet immediately knew when wicked thoughts passed through an unbeliever's mind, and those who thought ill of Muslims. As a blessing from our Lord, the Prophet knew what questions he would be asked before they were put to him, and gave the appropriate replies. The Hadiths contained hundreds of examples of these miracles. In one, our Prophet answered a question that was going through Abu Sufyan's mind, and Abu Sufyan said that he had thus witnessed the prophethood of this holy individual. Abu Sufyan would sit in a corner of the mosque. One day, the Prophet left his house wrapped up in his cloak. From where he was sitting, Abu Sufyan said, I wonder how he was victorious. The Prophet approached Abu Sufyan and tapped him on the back with his hand, saying, I defeated you with the help of Allah. Abu Sufyan said, I bear witness that you are the Prophet of Allah. All these examples show that by the will of Allah, our Prophet Muhammad performed a great many miracles. With his superior moral virtues, fear of Allah, deep faith, sincerity, and trust in him, our Prophet represents the most excellent role model to Muslims, and was a means whereby believers could further strengthen their faith in joy and enthusiasm. Seven years had passed since the Muslims had come to Medina. The Prophet wrote to the rulers of the countries around, calling on them to convert to Islam. Some immediately accepted this invitation, while others continued in denial. One of the rulers our Prophet called on to accept Islam was the Persian ruler Parvez ibn Hormuz. However, Ibn Hormuz rejected the Prophet's call and adopted a hostile attitude towards the Muslims. After receiving the Prophet's letter, Hormuz wrote to Badan, the Yemen governor of the time, and asked him to arrange for the Muslims to submit to him. As soon as Badan received the governor's letter, he sent a committee of men he trusted to go to Medina to look into the situation. The Prophet listened to what the envoys had to say, and after learning what was in the letter, invited them to convert to Islam. The Prophet told the envoys this piece of news, which Allah had revealed to him. Allah will send many tribulations to Khosrow by means of his son, Shirovay, who will kill him in such and such a month, on such and such a night, at such and such an hour. Our Prophet also instructed the envoys what to tell Badan, governor of Yemen. Tell Badan that my religion and my empire will reach far beyond the kingdom of Khosrow. And say to him from me, enter Islam and I will confirm you in what you have, and I will appoint you king over the people of Yemen. At this, the envoys returned to Yemen and told Badan what our Prophet had said. Badan was profoundly impressed by what he heard, which he expressed by saying, these are not the words of a ruler. I think that this person is, as he says, a prophet. He then asked his men what they thought of the prophet. The emissaries had also been profoundly awed by the majesty of our prophet, and described him by saying, we have never seen a ruler more majestic, more fearless, and unprotected. He was humble and would walk around among the people. Badan waited for a while, since he wished to see whether the Prophet's words regarding the Khusra would come true. In that way, he would be sure that our Prophet was the Messenger of Allah. A short while later, a letter from the king's son, Shivray, to Badan revealed another of the Prophet's miracles. I have killed the Khusra. When my letter reaches you, have the people take the oath of allegiance in my name. With regard to the individual the Khosrow wrote to you about, wait until you receive another command from me, and take no initiatives. The Lord of Persia had been killed by his own son, at the exact time and in the exact manner specified by our prophet. As soon as Badan read this letter, he said, "This person is indisputably a prophet sent by Allah to mankind and converted to Islam." Badan was the first governor appointed by our prophet and the first Persian governor to become a Muslim. He was followed by the Abna living in Yemen. The end times are a period that will take place in the run-up to the Day of Judgment. Many of our prophets' reports regarding the events that will occur during the end times have come down to the present day. The fact that all these events are taking place in our own day is yet another of the prophet's miracles. The Prophet Muhammad described events that would only take place 1,400 years in the future, in such detail that it was as if he had seen them with his own eyes. These are a few of the portents of the end times foretold by our Prophet, and that are taking place in our own time. The Iran-Iraq War. The occupation of Afghanistan. Halting of the flow of the Euphrates. Lunar and solar eclipses during Ramadan. The rise of a comet. Storming the Kaaba and the subsequent bloodshed. Widespread slaughter. The killing of the rulers of Damascus and Egypt. The obliteration of major cities. The destruction of Baghdad by fire. The reconstruction of Iraq. Disorder in Damascus, Iraq, and Arabia. The killing of innocent children. Increasing corruption. A rise in the number of earthquakes. Moral collapse. Epidemics. The emergence of false messiahs. All of these things foretold in the hadith of our prophet have been taking place one after the other since the year 1400, according to the Islamic calendar. Allah supported the Prophet Muhammad with the miracles in the Quran and also with the knowledge of the unseen. And our Prophet revealed a number of details concerning events that would take place in the near or distant future. Witnessing these actually taking place leads to a rise in believers' enthusiasm and to unbelievers feeling a greater empathy with Islam and eventually coming to have faith. The way that events that appeared impossible to happen in his own day, the possibility of which even were beyond anyone's imagining at that time, is clear proof that Allah imparted special knowledge to our Prophet. Throughout the course of this film, we have witnessed a number of miracles that our Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and grant him peace, performed with Allah's leave. The miracles performed by our beloved Prophet Muhammad represent glad tidings for all Muslims and our help and blessings from Allah. These miracles are all proofs that will further strengthen the faith of believers and will lead them to adhering even tighter to the Holy Quran, the sacred text revealed to our Prophet by Allah. In our own day, the way to support our Prophet lies solely in complete adherence to the Quran and the Sunnah of our Prophet, and in doing all in our power to be like him in terms of moral values and behavior. The most important thing of all, however, is learning our Lord's mercy, approval, and paradise by coming to resemble our Prophet. In the Quran, Allah emphasizes the importance of faith in Him and His Messenger, of supporting the Prophet and following in His footsteps. He tells us that it is these people who will attain salvation. Those who believe in Him and honor Him and help Him, and follow the light that has been sent down with him, they are the ones who are successful.